Welcome to NARAL's The Morning After. Each Thursday, our podcast brings you the latest on reproductive health care, progressive politics, and the fight to keep abortion safe and legal. NARAL's The Morning After is a production of NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ProChoiceOH. Enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Jamie.
Hi, I'm Randy.
Hi, I'm Gabe. Busy week.
Yeah, it's been a very busy week.
So two of the three of us here were in D.C. for the Supreme Court oral arguments and the rally sponsored by the Center for Reproductive Rights.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
CRR was very generous and was able to assist NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio in chartering a bus to take. We had 50 people on our bus, and I know there were several cars full of mm-hmm. others from Ohio to join the rally during Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstedt. The case out of Texas we've talked about before challenges various abortion restrictions that present an undue burden, an unconstitutional undue burden mm-hmm. On clinics in Texas. If Texas wins, then it will create a legal precedent that other states are going to start using to look at how that affects abortion restrictions that have been passed by other legislatures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you think of the rally?
I liked it. I had a lot of fun. There was a lot of people there from all over. I was really happy. There was like a lot of different groups there.
Yeah.
You know, it was obviously, you know, NARAL was there, Planned Parenthood was there. But then other groups like the National Latina Institute mm-hmm. and URGE. And Jasmine, of course, with New Voices. So yeah, I thought it was like a really good, diverse crowd of people. My feet were starting to hurt, I'm not gonna lie. It was a long time, but it was good. And then I got a chance to go over to Sherrod Brown's office afterwards. So that was good. So I thought it was a good day and everybody had a good time.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was fun to watch from my office.
Yeah, you got a seat.
My toes didn't get cold.
Everyone else was 4 hours on the pavement. So.
It was very nice to, but it was fun to watch, you know, and look at all the different speakers and really, you know, see the great crowd. The New York Times, of course, the next day completely, you know,
that
ignored
was
it.
Yes.
You know, there were probably at least a 5-to-1 ratio of people supporting the clinics and supporting abortion access to the crazy people on the other side who don't. But the big above the fold front page picture in the New York Times was, of course, all the anti-abortion protesters at the court. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
New York Times, good job.
And so now they have let out like some of what was said mm-hmm. and the notorious RBG was, you know, laying it down.
Oh yeah.
Like she always does. I thought it was really interesting. So they make the case that this is for women's health, yeah. women's safety. And then when she asked, you know, well, how many women are going to be over 100 miles away from a clinic? And the Texas Solicitor General response was, oh, about 25%. But, you know, other women, they can, like, go to New Mexico because mm-hmm. New Mexico yeah. doesn't have. But it's like, okay, so we have these laws for women's health in Texas, and your theory is that if we close all these clinics that are around these Texas women, then they can just go across the state to a state that has less egregious laws.
Yeah.
But why are you going to send them there if you're concerned for their safety? Mm-hmm. Like, that argument makes no sense.
Exactly. Mic drop, done. Walk
yeah,
out of the room.
Like, yeah. you just killed your own argument, like mm-hmm. no.
Yeah. And well, and she was joined by, I mean, Sotomayor did a really good job. Breyer popped in there too. Kagan was in there. All four of them really were, you know, on point that day talking about how, you know, you say this is about women's health, but you know, there's absolutely no evidence that being in an ambulatory surgical facility increases health. And in Texas, it's really cool because they actually had a couple that were ambulatory surgical facilities, and then most of them weren't. So they were actually able to do research studies looking at complication rates in that same state between ones done in ambulatory surgical facilities and one done in just outpatient doctor's offices. Mm-hmm. And there was absolutely no difference in the standard of care and the number of complications and all these things. So, I mean, it's obvious that this is all about closing down clinics.
Yeah.
The thing that drove me the craziest was Chief Justice Roberts and Alito were both, you know, really on this whole, well, how do you know that the clinics really closed because of this law? And the
Are you serious?
Yeah. And you know, so, you know, the woman, her name is escaping me, an amazing young lawyer from the Center for Reproductive Rights.
I can't remember her name.
Arguing the case. Gabe's going to look it up for us.
Toady.
Yes, thank you. Stephanie Toady. And she, you know, was talking about how she answered that question saying, well, we have data on the 5 years before House Bill 2 went into effect, and it was pretty stable. You lost one or two, you gained one or two. Like, it was pretty stable. And then House Bill 2 went into effect, and within, like, 6 months, or even sooner, within weeks of House Bill 2 going into effect, you lost 20 clinics.
And you're going to ask, how do we know?
Yeah. And then they still were like, well, how do you know they really closed because of the law? We need more evidence. Yeah. So, you know, we've discussed the case
how
before.
How is that
yeah.
not enough evidence?
Well, you don't have a signed declaration from every single clinic operator that the reason they closed was because of the case.
Okay.
So we had our, you know, amazing, brilliant four folks, and then we had these other people, and Kennedy was amongst those who, you know, our swing justice here that pulls it one way or the other. It was, you know, one of those ones saying, well, I might need more evidence. So
right. So that was the two outcomes that we've discussed in the past. That was, to be clear, that you're describing there is not one of the two outcomes that yes. we've discussed uh-huh. in the past. So we've been assuming that worst case scenario, it would be a 4-4 tie, that Kennedy would not be persuaded, yeah. that he would side with the conservative justices, that our side would be held down by Kagan, Sotomayor, Ginsburg, and Breyer. Mm-hmm. And so that 4-4 tie would essentially be a loss for the women of Texas, mm-hmm. But would not constitute a legal precedent for other states, including Ohio.
Yeah.
So that was option A, you know, was the tie.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other option is we just outright win we with 5-4.
Yes.
Kennedy joins our side. And then
actually 5-3 with
5-3, yeah. 5-3. Right. So then Kennedy, it turned out, pitched that whole other option C that yeah. I didn't even know was a thing of kicking it down to the lower court and saying, here, gather more evidence.
Yeah.
And I'm making a couple of assumptions of procedure here, but if you kick it back down to the lower court,
mm-hmm.
the various clinics that have closed, they put together their evidence. They go back to their lower court. They hear it all over again. It would probably fail there because it's already failed there once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So even with more evidence, I don't think that would do it. And they arrive back at the U.S. Supreme Court at some later date to do all of this over again with new evidence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And most likely a full complement because it would take over
justice.
A year
yeah.
to get there.
That's the big point, is that brings in, you know, all a full 9-justice Supreme Court where that 4-4 tie is no longer a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so then it really depends on who gets nominated.
Yeah.
Which is why you need to vote.
Yes.
And know who you're voting for this fall.
And, well, even before that, we need to put pressure on senators like Ohio oh, yeah. Senator Rob Portman mm-hmm. to say, hey, mm-hmm. you guys need to do your jobs and hold hearings.
Yes.
You know, Sherrod Brown, I haven't heard anything from him directly, but I just know yeah. that he is on the side of...
Think?
Of, you know, investigating whoever gets a nomination and having an up or down vote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like Sherrod Brown saying, yes, we'll guarantee a thing. He's just saying, let's take this to the yeah. floor. Let's hold a
yeah.
vote.
Yeah.
Let's hold at least a committee hearing.
Yeah.
Let's meet a candidate. I
right.
mean, they're saying
they
won't even have a
do
private
anything.
Meeting. Yeah.
Right. So we need to be putting pressure on specifically our senator here from Ohio.
Yes.
To do the right thing, to, you know, participate in the process,
mm-hmm.
Rob.
Yeah.
Do what you were elected to do. Do your job.
And the majority of people want them to nominate someone.
Right. Yeah. They want to have a full court.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We're supposed to have a 9-person court.
Yeah, I mean, we have three branches of government that are equally weighted and equally important. And right now, there's one that, well, actually, I could make an argument there are multiples that are completely hamstringed, but hamstrung. But right now, one is missing a ninth of its makeup.
Right.
And that's a big, huge deal. Yeah. I mean, the whole reason we have the three branches of government is the balance of control. And without one of them having their full complement, we're not operating at the way that we should be.
Right. And, you know, this isn't the only case before the court. There are others. And, you know, if you have a tie, it screws up the whole process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They should, for this case and others, they should have a full court. Yeah. So
they're so disrespectful. Mm-hmm. They're just still so mad that they got beat by Barack Obama.
Twice.
So mad that he's the president. And yeah, they're just completely disrespectful. Yeah. I have no respect for them because they have no respect for the president. And I hope they'll be out of office soon.
Yeah, and these conservative Republicans, they apparently
love the Constitution.
Yeah. Right.
But except when
suits
it's not
them.
Yeah, exactly. When it suits me.
I've read articles that talk about the meeting that they had on the day of his inauguration in 2009 how to brainstorm as many ways to obstruct him from doing anything as possible. That's all this is about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shameful.
And they want to sit there and say, oh, you know, we have to let the people decide. Well, they did decide and they didn't decide for your candidate.
Yeah.
They decided on him.
Right.
I mean,
so get over yourself. Yeah.
They throw elections matter at us all the time. Like, hello, elections matter.
Exactly.
Right.
Only for them. Only for them. Rules only apply to them.
So then the oral arguments concluded. The rally had been going for several hours. The rally was from 8 to noon. Mm-hmm. At like 11:30 or so, oral arguments had wrapped. They debated and discussed for 90 minutes. I think they went over the amount of time that was scheduled for
the
case.
According to the transcript. They gave each of them about 12 extra minutes. So
yeah. And then this is incredible. And then they exit the court, the plaintiffs and the defendants, and standing out on the plaza below the Supreme Court steps and watching the attorneys for Whole Woman's Health and Amy Hagstrom Miller, who's the owner of Whole Woman's Health, the clinic in Texas, walk down those steps and approach thousands of people who've been rallying for hours to support them and take the mic and just, you know, thank everybody and explain to the crowd, you know, why they've been there, why they're fighting. That was just one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was kind of funny, like, watching it, because you could actually, before they announced they were coming down the stairs, so they made the announcement kind of at the podium that they were coming down the stairs, but before they even made that announcement, you could hear, and I couldn't see up that high on the live feed, it was really pierced in on the speakers, and but you could hear the crowd erupt.
Kind of crazy.
In completely not in sync with the person speaking or what they were doing up there at that moment.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as the crowd heard it, they just went nuts. And, you know, the rally kind of temporarily suspended for a minute. And it was just this outcry of, you know, love and support for them.
Yeah.
And
you know what it was, is all of the all the attorneys were dressed in black. Everyone had on, like, you know, their professional suits and all of that. And Cecile was with them. Mm-hmm. She was dressed in black. Elise was with them. She was dressed in black. The attorneys were dressed in black. Amy Hagstrom Miller had this terrific bright purple suit on. And she came out of there. And I've met her once before, so I know what she looks like. But, I mean, from 100 feet away, you just instantly knew that was her, and seeing her come down those steps in that purple suit and just knowing that that was, you know, the person that we were all there to cheer on. It was just incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it really does bring back the fact of the immense sacrifice that our providers and our clinic owners make, you know, mm-hmm. constantly. You know, we've talked about all the court cases in Toledo and Cincinnati and Dayton. I mean, these are lawyers not working for free.
Right.
You know, these clinic owners are putting their own expense out there. You know, in order for Dr. Burkhans to open his clinic, the new clinic in Akron that we got last year,
yep. mm-hmm.
he spent over $100,000 getting that open.
Right.
Fighting ODH and those kinds of things, you know. To be able to actually support our providers in such a public, visible way is, you know, so critical for us and so critical for them, because they need to be able to see that, you know, the people are really behind them, that they're doing this not, you know, just for themselves, but really for, you know, an entire community. And then in this case, you know, an entire nation could be impacted by what this one brave clinic owner is doing in Texas.
Right. From the rally stage, in addition to Whole Woman's Health, we heard from different organizations that you named, Randy. A couple of them from the Midwest that we really want to talk about is State Representative Teresa Fetter,
mm-hmm.
Who's from Toledo. She revealed her rape and her abortion during testimony for the 6-week abortion ban, the heartbeat bill, mm-hmm. Just last year in the Ohio House. And so she was one of the folks to take the podium and tell everybody a little bit about her story.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she did that because part of the, you know, so there were about 10, I think, amicus briefs that were filed with the court. And they were various groups, most of them were various groups of women who had had abortions and had various positions in life. So there was one of lawyers who had had abortions, and there was one of public officials who had had an abortion. So Teresa Fetter was part of that amicus brief as well. And right. Amy Brenneman was there too, judging Amy, who, you know, was mm-hmm. one of the, you know, public persona people that had had an abortion and were part of an amicus brief. So really a central part of this case is all of these women speaking out on their stories and saying how important safe legal access to abortion was to them and their lives and their position. Now I'm a successful lawyer now because I had that choice then. So that was really cool. And actually the live feed broke right before Teresa took the stage. So I actually didn't get to enjoy her speech, but there is full video. We'll make sure we link to it. On our Facebook page and on our website. There's full video of the entire rally if you want to watch all 4 hours, or you can skip to Teresa Fetter, who was about halfway through in the 10:30.
I think that part period. Of the video screwed up. We're going to have to find actual recorded video.
Oh, yeah, because it was video of the live feed. Crap. So, yeah, you can't watch it. Sorry. So you're in my boat. You don't get to see Teresa Fetter speak.
We will put, we'll embed the full video from the rally on the blog post that goes with this podcast episode. So if you're listening, find NARALProChoiceOhio.com and look for this March 4th episode. If you're watching us on YouTube on our blog, just scroll down. So Fetter was awesome. Mm-hmm. She spoke, and standing beside her was... I think I was able to squeeze 5 people up on stage with her. Some signs that were made by our fabulous Annie Kroll in our Cleveland office. Huge mm-hmm. OHIL signs. And then another one to the side that says, Ohio loves Teresa Fetter. I mean, just an amazing, huge visual.
It was a
everybody
perfect
know
visual.
Ohio was there. We stood there. And I mean, up beside that stage... it was like a sardine can of people. I mean, it was, you know, had a fire marshal been there, he would have made everybody get out of the way. It was, you were just crammed in as tight as you could be. Everybody with our group was holding these huge signs. So they're like trying to not get their sign crushed. Mm-hmm. I was sort of standing towards the front of the group and trying to communicate with the people doing stage direction, you know, like, hey, I've got Fetter here. Where are we at in the lineup? Making sure mm-hmm. that she was in spot. We had to figure out exactly which people with the signs were going up kind of before Representative Fetter and after, so that, you know, she would end up kind of in the mm-hmm. middle of them and not have everybody off to one side. It seriously took us like 3 times to make sure that we spelled O-H-I-O instead of O-I-H-O.
I was really impressed. I was thinking as I was watching out of the 500 ways that O-H-I-O could have been spelled wrong and was very, very happy that it was a perfect visual up there.
No, there was a collective of all of us like, we got to make sure we get the right order, because in your mind you think, okay, send them up, O-H-I-O, which would then read left to right backwards. So we had to like switch people. And then it was, you know, do we take that extra sign that says Fetter, Ohio loves Fetter, and do we put that first, which then might make the signs fall off the edge of the stage, or do we put that person last over to the edge? So we were able to get that done.
Coordinated on the video.
The pictures look great.
Yeah, so we shoved them all up on there. I ducked for cover and scooted off to the side to get out of there so I didn't get trampled.
I was nowhere near there.
It was so tight getting up there. And Representative Fetter, she was so proud of her hat. Her hat was terrific.
It was amazing.
The official rally colors were eggplant and yellow, which was the CRR colors for the day. And she had this hat. She called it her suffragette hat.
It was a perfect suffragette hat. And actually, it took me a minute once I started seeing pictures. I was like, where's Teresa Fetter? Because the hat really does kind of, you know, her hair is very obvious. You know, being around her, I can usually pick her out of a crowd. But the hat, you know, kind of hid enough of it. I was like, is she even under the hat?
Yeah, with the hat, she kind of looked like Daisy from The Great Gatsby.
Yeah, she did. I mean, it was an amazing hat. Yes. It really, really was. So...
She did awesome. And then the other group from Ohio, there were several different like college students that stood up from Ohio. I heard from Wright State, from University of Cincinnati, super proud of all of them, kids from Otterbein, folks from Cleveland. But new voices out of Pittsburgh and Jasmine from Cleveland. The person for New Voices who spoke has been a guest on our podcast before, Latasha Mays. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely knocked it out of the park.
Oh my God, they were amazing.
She really was. She did a really good job. I was very happy. When she was like, and we are Black Girl Magic, I was like, yes! Yes, Latasha!
It was a very, very good line. And, I think she was also the one that did the I am unapologetically,
unapologetically Black. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes.
Yeah, and Jasmine with her sign and her amazing like Black Panther activist hat and her sunglasses.
Her aviator shades.
Oh my God, it was perfectly fierce and badass. Yeah. Like,
it was very fierce, yes.
Well, and it's funny compared to, you know, what I've heard from our people who were holding the OHIO signs up there, like that it was really, really windy.
It was very windy.
Like, several of them were like, I was like literally holding onto my sign for dear life, hoping it didn't blow away. And like, then you look at Jasmine's picture and like, she is just up there. Yeah. And
it's
like,
totally the picture of strength. Yeah. Just like, holding my sign.
And it didn't look like it was taking any, like, so our people are like, and Jasmine's just like, and it was pretty fabulous. So yeah, they were really, really amazing.
Yeah. She did a really good job speaking. Mm-hmm. It was awesome being there. There were so many, there was actually a lot of people there. Some ladies there that I had met from the conference that I went to in Florida in December, and I met a lot of women who were doing reproductive justice work, and a lot of them were there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, terrific groups from all across the country. I, of course, have the awkward misfortune of being the only redheaded guy that I saw the entire thing, which makes me very visible, and people were coming up to me and saying, "Hi, Gabe," and I'm like, "Hi, friend that I've met."
Yeah, it might have been like, Kelly, it's just obvious. You can find our Ohio people because you can just find Gabe. He's the only 6 foot tall redhead. They'll be in the...
Yeah, it was for me the worst case of, you know, trying name that person. And
because everybody remembers the tall redhead, so it's not hard to remember Gabe. But yeah, Gabe.
But yeah, I mean, there was tons of people that, you know, I know all of us have met over the past years of working with colleagues from other states. So it was really, really cool seeing people from everywhere getting together and showing support for the clinic in Texas. And then thanks very much to all the people who made the bus trip. It was 24 hours out and back, sleeping on the bus, uncomfortable the whole way.
Good job.
That was a long day.
But I think folks had fun. It was definitely worthwhile. Me and Randy were discussing. We said it's something that we'd love to do about once every 5 years.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
You don't want to do it again next month?
No.
Forgot to tell you. Just kidding. Yeah. But while you guys were on the bus, other things happened.
What happened?
Super Tuesday.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. I like totally missed this massive amount of voting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't know. I mean, I know that mostly Donald Trump and Hillary won, but I don't know exactly who won what states.
Minnesota proved that they are the only people that have Republicans with brains.
Okay.
And who did they vote for?
It was Rubio Cruz Trump in Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
Minnesota went for Minnesota. Rubio.
Good job. The first state Rubio's won.
Right.
Massachusetts weirdly put Kasich in second.
Mm.
And, oh wait, no, maybe he was third. He was second in Vermont. And really close. Like, right. It was Trump 32, Kasich 30. Like, yeah, it was really close.
Milking some of that effort that he put into New Hampshire, yeah. I think. It's New England, that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, New England Republicans are not.
Sure.
South Carolina Republicans.
True.
Right.
Or Texas Republicans.
Right.
So Cruz did take his home state and then also bled into Oklahoma. So yep. Oklahoma went Cruz.
Oklahoma went Cruz. Was weird because Oklahoma had Cruz
and then Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Bernie got Oklahoma, which
I'm very surprised by that. I don't see Oklahoma as being a Bernie state, but okay. That was weird.
Maybe the few Democrats that actually managed to survive in Oklahoma, which I can say because I was there last week.
I can imagine them being very extreme. Yeah, they are there. Mm-hmm. That's true.
I wonder if that kind of pushes you over the edge on wanting to be more progressive on that end.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
so Oklahoma, Colorado, Minnesota, Vermont, of course, because if you don't win your home state, you should just leave. message
except
to Rubio.
And Rubio.
Well, they haven't voted yet, so Rubio and Kasich will have their on the same day we do. I think.
Oh,
I think
it's the 15th. Okay.
Googling that now.
Yeah, it's not next Tuesday. I know that for a fact. I think it's with us on the 15th.
Okay.
But so I think
who's
those are
next Tuesday.
Oh, now you're asking me questions I don't remember.
Gabe.
I'm looking it up.
So Hillary, I think both Hillary and Trump won seven.
Florida for both Democrats and Republicans is on March 15th.
That's what I thought. Okay. So Florida. So Cruz and Rubio and Kasich will have their reckoning day.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan knows it goes next week. I do know that much. Kasich's made a big, huge play for Michigan as one
of
the Midwest
states.
He
really wants to have a strong showing in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think Trump is still winning by like 30 points in Michigan, which totally makes sense. I mean, Michigan has a huge like militia presence and,
right.
you know, that whole up north area of Michigan is just like, leave us the hell alone. Just go away.
Oh, okay. I've guessed that.
Oh, yeah. There's a huge like Michigan militia, you know, don't tread on me kind of population, especially in northern Michigan.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Especially the Upper Peninsula, because it's not actually really even connected to Michigan by land.
So Super Tuesday, small surprises, but no big surprises.
No. Yeah. In general, the two that we thought would win the majority won the majority.
Ben Carson dropped out.
Well, not officially. He said he wasn't going to be in the debate, and
he's not
going to
be in the election,
forward.
So
yeah,
we'll just say he dropped out.
I think they said that he's supposed to talk more on it today, actually. Yeah. So maybe he'll drop out today. It could have happened, but we don't know because we're not watching the news.
Yeah.
Part of him dropping out, downsizing, you know, suspending his campaign, whatever, meant that he wasn't in last night's debate.
Yeah, it's not going to be an ATM anymore.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, for his people.
Mm-hmm. You know, I felt almost a little nervous about saying that on last week's podcast that Ben Carson's campaign is an ATM. Mm-hmm. And then I sat down at my desk and that was like the first article that popped up was people talking about how he even admitted that maybe his campaign's a bit of a scam because all of the, different political vendors that he allowed his campaign staff to hire, they were all like best friends or college roommates
of
or
course,
cousins
yeah.
of, different folks.
And they're just like, let's get on this Ben Carson train.
Yeah. When you're buying things that have a cash value that fluctuates like polling or, print campaign literature. Yeah.
Consultants.
and the people can charge whatever they want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to just,
especially
squander away millions of dollars.
Yeah, especially with somebody like Carson who's never run a political campaign, so he doesn't even know, like, well, that's a reasonable price to pay, and this isn't a reasonable price to pay.
Exactly.
Like,
I mean, he was never going to be a viable candidate anyways, but they were able to raise an enormous amount of money that they then all pocketed.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Carson is out. So last night was a 4-person debate.
Mm-hmm. Can't believe it's down to 4 now. So just to be clear, is it down to 4 really? Are any of the undercard people?
No, they're all gone.
It is actually down to 4.
It is actually down to 4.
Okay.
That's a good question because it was never really clear.
I had to be sure because, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. All the others are out.
Kasich should be, but you know, he can stay out there. I don't need him back in Ohio. He causes less trouble for us out there. So yeah. Just stay.
Yeah. So before we talk about the three crazies, Kasich last night, I mean, he did maintain that he is still in this to win it. The question came out, you know, to all the other candidates, if Trump is the nominee, will you support him? They all said yes. Mm. Kasich was the one, I think, of the three who tried to
put like, a he makes big it of an hard asterisk on it. But
yeah, I mean, he was acknowledging that would be really obnoxious. Yeah.
There. And also, Paul Ryan, so he had to come out and had a little press conference to say that, you know, the GOP doesn't support the KKK or white supremacy and different things like that. And you know what? I will say, no, not all Republicans are racist, mm-hmm. but most racists are Republican. And that's just true. So for him to come out and you speak out of both sides of your mouth because you say on one hand that you don't support that, you know, we don't support white supremacy. However, this man who will not disavow them, or if he did, it wasn't even really, he was like, oh, I disavow. Like, okay, that means nothing. Right. And so, but at the same time, you say, oh, if he's a nominee, then we're going to support him. Why can't you say, no, we're not going to support someone who's going to take endorsements from the KKK?
Right.
Yeah. Like, you can't have it both ways.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the questions that came up last week, and then it was re-asked again during the debate.
Yeah.
And, you know, people on Twitter were like, oh my God, I can't believe that this is a question that needs to be asked.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it actually does.
Yes.
Because people have been looking back at the Trump family history. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump's father, you know, he was a New York landlord. He was the subject of a lawsuit because of race-based evictions. Mm-hmm. And there are people that are saying that Donald Trump's dad did have direct ties with the Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. And so for Trump to try
he threw like 30 Valdosta State University students out of his rally. Yeah. They weren't doing anything. They just came there to see what he was talking about. I watched the interview with one of the students that went. She was like, you know, and talking to her, she was just like, well, I just wanted to see if what, you know, he said was true. You know, we're supposed to look at all the candidates. So I was just going to look at him as a candidate. So we just went there and wanted to see what he was going to be talking about. And then before he even got started, the police came and escorted them out. And when they asked, it was because, they contacted the police there, the Valdosta local police and the state police. And the police said it was because a Trump staffer came to them and said, they need to leave. You need to kick them out. And they weren't doing anything except being there and being black.
Yeah.
And also the woman in Louisville got kicked out as well.
Well, and I think she got like the crap beat out of her too.
Yeah, she was like yelled at and like pushed out, and she wasn't doing anything either. So this is not just anymore, oh, funny, haha. I saw a tweet that said, oh, this is really funny. It's like about Trump. It's like white people about Trump. Oh, I'm going to move out of the country. Ha, ha, ha. Black people about Trump. I'm legitimately scared for myself and my family. Like when you have that and you have someone and the police have to work with that person to also kick these people out that weren't doing anything, like that's not okay. But that's what they are. That's the party that they have, you know, cultivated because they don't like Barack Obama. And that's what they have now. And now they're saying, like, we don't want him, but that's the party you created.
Yeah, well, I was watching, I think, CNN this morning, and they were talking about how, you know, they had two people up there, of course, and, you know, one of them was trying to say, well, Donald Trump doesn't represent the Republican Party. It's like, he's winning all the votes.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
People are voting in a Republican primary for this person. So unless you have a totally different group of voters out there who, you know,
we don't know about,
we don't know about, you know, right. or don't actually exist. You know, these people are saying I'm a Republican and the majority of them are voting for this racist idiot.
Yes. Right.
I mean,
like, that's kind of what voting means is yeah. you're selecting the person you want to represent you.
Exactly.
Well, and the crazy part is they were also talking and I've heard a couple of interviews now. I think, can't remember what show I was watching, but he was talking about how, you know, now that some of the, like the Massachusetts and those kinds of places, like some of these more rational Trump supporters, you know, not the ones that actually believe we should kick all the Muslims out of the country or actually believe that we're going to get Mexico to pay for this wall. And they're like, oh, I don't believe any of that shit. Like, I don't believe anything that he says, but I want change. Him. I want change. I need, we want to disrupt the norm and he's the one who's going to do it. And really, it was really interesting too, because they were talking about how, you know, we've kind of cultivated this culture where all politicians lie to right. get elected.
Yeah.
So this is and just Trump's just like, version yeah. of lying to get elected.
Yeah.
We, just like everybody else saying they're going to do X, Y, and Z, and then they don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're just going to dismiss all this crazy ass.
Yeah.
You know, and say that I'm going to vote for him because he's going to shake things up.
Right.
I don't actually believe what he believes, but he's yeah. the one who's going to shake stuff up.
Yeah.
And that's really, like, that is no, sorry. It's just not okay.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm like, when you say make America great again, make it great again. For when was it great mm-hmm. for everyone? Where are we going with this? Where are we going back to? Like, mm-hmm. yeah, we need to know.
Wait, make white America great again, I think is actually what Trump's little hat should say.
He's, but at the same time, it's kind of like, I don't know. He's like an enigma because I feel like on one hand, yeah, he's saying all of this really crazy racist, sexist, xenophobic mm-hmm. things like he should not be saying. But on the other hand, he himself, he's just playing to like those people's fears and what,
oh, yeah.
but I don't think that like in his core, he doesn't have one. I don't think he has like a core set of principles mm-hmm. or beliefs. I think he only believes in himself and his popularity. And so, therefore, I'm going to do, say whatever you want to hear right now so that you'll clap for me and vote for me. But so I'm like, I don't know what to think about
yeah.
him. Because he actually believes in anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other big piece that somebody was pointing out that I was listening to recently was talking about how, you know, the Republican Party is all about how the executive should not have too much power. Mm-hmm. All these right. executive orders that Barack Obama is doing, all this stuff is not constitutional. He shouldn't be doing the Dreamer stuff. He shouldn't be doing any of this stuff because that's taking too much power in the executive. And then there you have Donald Trump winning these Republican voters saying, I'm just going to get rid of the First Amendment. The press, like 10% of them are okay and the other 90% are assholes. So I right. don't like them anymore. So I'm going to shut the press up. And we saw that with this Secret Service guy chokeholding a member of the press this yeah, week at uh-huh. one of his rallies. I mean, he was a little mean to the Secret Service, so he wasn't completely without fault, but like he didn't deserve to be thrown to the floor yeah. and chokeholded.
But the Secret yeah. Service have been tasked by the campaign yeah. to police the press mm-hmm. presence. Yeah.
They have a yeah. pen.
Which
and
is not what the
like,
Secret Service yeah. is there for.
No. They have a little pen, and if they like walk outside of the line, they're supposed to be taken out.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So, you know, like they've got this guy saying, I'm just going to get rid of the First Amendment, and I'm just going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And if the Speaker of the House doesn't go along with me, I'm just, you know, he's going to have a price to pay. And
like, what does that mean?
Yeah. Paul Ryan had some choice words for that. But, you know, like, so you've got this guy who's running basically on, I'm going to be a totalitarian dictator when I get up there. And all these right. Republicans yeah. who supposedly don't believe in executive power are like, woohoo, he's awesome. I'm like, do you?
Yeah.
I really.
Yeah. At this point, it seems like there's nothing he can do or say for the people who are just like diehard, like, Donald Trump, like literally, like he said, he could go out and shoot someone and they'd be like, well, you know, he had to do that.
Well, he hit a new low last night.
Oh, yes.
And we'll find out because there's been so much talk. The campaign trail has turned really just in the most absurd, fairly disgusting way.
It's like a like high school boys' locker room. Yeah. It really is.
It is. So Marco Rubio has been doing the best he can to stoop to Trump's level.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult for even Marco to get down that far. But so he's been talking oddly about Trump's hands. And so Rubio has been making this thing as part of his mm-hmm. speeches as he's been out making a appearances, talking about how Donald Trump has small hands. Apparently, it's something that for quite some time, people have noticed that Trump is insecure about his hands. I don't know. And so then Marco has been making the joke about, you know, what goes with small hands. The punchline kind of unsaid being that, you know, if he has a small hands, he must have a small penis.
Yes. Yeah.
So then Trump on the debate stage last night basically said, he didn't use the word penis, but he basically said that other thing, you don't have to worry about it.
There's no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, really, we don't want to know. We don't care. These are the people, like, I don't even know what's happening. Yeah. These are the people that are running to be our president.
Yeah, penis size isn't how I vote for my president.
No.
In fact, that, you know, actually the lack thereof one is, you know, helping me on the other side.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, were we really discussing the size of someone's penis in a Republican debate? Like
yeah, it really
it
happened.
Got to that. I mean,
it's what they say. It's the race with Donald Trump there. It's the race to the bottom.
Yeah.
See who can be the most, like, disgusting and vulgar and just totally, like, classless. Like, I mean, policy aside, why are you going to vote for someone who just doesn't even have, like, any class or tact about themselves and just talks people? And, like, why are you going to vote for somebody to represent your country? And America is supposed to, if, as Republicans say, America's the greatest country in the world, blessed by God on a shining hill. But we're going to let this dude run it?
Right.
But we like him because he speaks his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it got to the point where the only thing lower would have been had somebody actually thrown a punch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, I've been
or
waiting
for
they
pull
for
their
it.
Pants down for old.
Liz Winstead had the absolute best tweet of all of it. She tweeted, well, do you know what you know what they say about people with small hands? Big asshole. Liz Winstead was just on fire last night.
That was perfect.
That's good.
Oh.
Yeah. It's. Yeah. I think that they, like, I'll give it to, like, Megyn Kelly. Like, she did a really good job of going after him, though, especially, like, on the Trump University and different things. And it's like, you listen to him talk about it. At first, he's like, oh, well, 98% of the people loved it. We had this great rating, which they didn't. They had, like, a D-. But even though he says, you know, no, we have an A. And then on the flip side of that, he's like, oh, we gave many refunds.
For the Trump University?
Yeah. It's like, if it's so great and people loved it so much, why did you have to give out so many refunds?
Right. Yeah. It sounds like he was operating as... Trump University is as much of a scam as Ben Carson's campaign was.
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly.
Pay $35,000 and at the end of it, you get a picture with a cardboard cutout of Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yes. So Fox moderators were asking questions about that. Megyn Kelly had actual footage of different cable news shows interviewing Donald Trump where he said opposite things to kind of say, hey, why do you change your opinion? Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, we shouldn't, you know, we should have gone into Iraq, but not Afghanistan. And then on a different show, we should have gone into Afghanistan, but not Iraq. And it's like, hey, those are opposite statements.
Exactly.
Which do you actually believe?
Yeah.
And there was on several topics, example like that. Mm-hmm. I think it was an example on his immigration.
Yeah.
Which he's been horribly, you know, anti-immigrant, horribly racist, and then just kind of just stupidly irrational of like, we're going to have a 50-foot wall and have Mexico pay for it.
And the wall just got 10 feet bigger.
Yeah. And
like,
it's like,
okay.
You're not saying anything serious. And then you say the opposite thing based on who your audience is.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing for a politician to shift how they talk about something based on their audience. That's understandable.
Yeah.
We see that from everybody.
Yeah.
To say exact opposite things on major policy, you know.
Literally a day, like, away from each other. And then he's trying to say it's because, you know, oh, you got to be flexible. There's a difference between being flexible about things and just, like I was saying earlier, having no character, no real, like, values or principles, no real thoughts on these different issues.
Right.
So you're just going to say, oh, today, this is what they want to hear, so I'm going to say this.
Right. Rubio had a great line about that. He said he was doing yoga.
Yeah.
He was so flexible, he turned himself around.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Donald Trump's hot mess. hot mess.
That's exciting. Well, and it's hilarious to watch them now, all the Republicans now, in like a
it
hot
is very entertaining.
Panic. Like, you know, I'm in a panic just because, like, I care about my country and, like, you know, man, dude, no, it just can't happen. But, like, the Republicans are in this, like, full-out panic that this guy is going to be, like, the poster child for being a Republican. And although he really does embody all of the Republican values, like Randy said earlier, like, we don't want people to know that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, Mitt Romney came out to voice opposition. Mm-hmm. Chris Christie endorsed Trump.
He's just looking for his 15. He's trying to add on to his 15 minutes.
And then if you watched Chris Christie speaking at the Trump event, he looked like the most beaten down, soul crushed person ever to have to stand up there and praise Donald Trump.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And along with that, half a dozen newspapers across the state of New Jersey called for Chris Christie to resign.
To resign, yeah.
Because they were so disgusted by that. Mm-hmm. Because it was, that all happened like in the same 6-hour period where the KKK comment came
out. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and also, I think the new New Hampshire Ledger or whatever it is, officially unendorsed him in like this front page editorial as well,
because
they had endorsed Chris Christie before the New Hampshire primary, and then they made this whole big thing and like, we made a huge mistake, like, we're so sorry we did that, a huge mistake, pulling the H off there, and you know, it was just. And the footage of him standing behind Trump as he gave his victory, as Trump gave his victory speech on Super Tuesday, like
about his face,
you couldn't actually, because I was actually watching it in real time, and you couldn't actually focus on the words coming out of Donald Trump's mouth because he was talking in his normal, usual self, where you couldn't actually understand the stuff coming out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. But mostly because you couldn't stop staring at Chris Christie because he looked like this, like he wanted to do the whole like blink twice if you need somebody to come and rescue you, like. You know, like drop something if it needs to be now. Like, are you safe? Are you being held captive?
Do the safe signal.
Yeah, like, do you have a safe word? Yeah. So it just has gotten completely out of control. And like, as much as
I don't think we could have imagined. No. I mean, of course, we knew with Trump getting in, it was going to be entertaining and a little crazy, but. I don't think anyone could have ever imagined it would be, they would sink this low into the gutter.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Because nobody thought that he would be the front runner. I mean, everybody thought he'd be the 15 minutes of fame dude and, you know, he'd win for a week or two. Like,
yeah,
Ben
go
Carson
back to
did,
his reality show.
Go back to The Apprentice, who I guess Arnold Schwarzenegger is now going to host.
Which is ironic because Arnold's going to be here in Columbus
For the
promoting
Arnold.
Kasich.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the Arnold is here this weekend.
Right.
His I'd little like to butter see the building Arnold
fest.
Oh, okay.
All right. Because. So the campaign moves on. Ohio votes on March 15th. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that goes.
Early voting is open now.
Yes.
Check your local Board of Elections website. Find all that information. In Columbus, it's on
early.
Morris Road. Yeah. So in other racist, ridiculous news... Randy.
Sad news. This is a sad day, everyone.
Sad day in Nerdland.
Melissa Harris Perry, her show, has been canceled from MSNBC, which it is true that like the last several months since the election, the show hasn't really been coming on like it used to. They really have just been bumping it. And now it's been... I guess they decided to part ways because they were just really not really telling her what was going to happen and what's going on. And so now Nerdland is gone.
Yeah. Well, and I actually give mad props to the way that Melissa Harris Perry handled it because she didn't just let it go.
Right.
That she stood up for herself in a way that most people are like, oh my God, what does she like? You know, I actually saw several, people being like, well, you know, if she had just not made such a fuss, because there was a period of time where like she had written a letter to her editors that got leaked. And it sounds like that she actually leaked it. I think rightfully so. But, you know, and some people were saying, well, you know, if she hadn't sent that letter, maybe they wouldn't have fully out canceled her and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what? There's a period of time where you try to act nice and you try to get along. And then there's a period of time that you say, screw you.
Right.
You know, yeah. I'm no longer, and, you know, she actually used really great words that I can't remember right now, but, you know, like, you know, I'm no longer your mouthpiece. I'm no longer your black mouthpiece. I'm not going to be treated.
Yeah, she know. Made a, you know, a big statement talking about how she wasn't going to be.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact words she used, and I don't want to put words in her mouth. Gabe's going to look it up. But, you know, and then, you know, and it sounded like they had a couple of days of negotiation, and then when they really couldn't come to any sort of standoff, you know, any kind of understanding or agreement or anything, she just let it all go. And and that's what really needs to be said. I mean, we talk about how racist and everything the Republican Party is, but, you know, we see within progressive movements and progressive organizations,
really
we can be just as, you know, exclusively white.
They have really changed. It's like people have, because I still watch it every day. Like, I'm obsessed with watching. I watch till like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning when I need to be going to bed. And Minnie's like, why are we still up? But yeah, I didn't notice until like I was, you know, after this happened, I've been reading articles and then I kind of been paying attention a little bit more. It's like, it's true though. A lot of the, you know, black and brown commentators and hosts, they like Jose Diaz-Balart, he used to come on at 9, but he hasn't been on there. And I don't can't remember the last time he was on there. Joy Reid is on there sometimes,
yeah, but
not really. And so a lot of them have just been kind of thrown to the wayside for all these other new people who are like, where did you come from? Like, yeah. And it's kind of crazy. And people making the point, you know, you're about to have the Florida primaries. Mm-hmm. He was based in Miami, but they're not asking him. Melissa Harris Perry is a political science professor, PhD.
A brilliant political science
professor. You're not asking her to do any of these shows about, you know, political commentating, but they brought back Brian Williams to do it. And it's like, you brought him back to do it. Why didn't you bring back any of these other people to help do it?
Yeah. So it was a big old mess, and they need to get things straight.
Exactly. Like, get it together. MSNBC.
Yeah.
We're watching you.
Or not watching you.
Or not watching you.
Did you find it, Gabe?
I did.
Okay.
She said, here's the reality. Our show was taken without comment or discussion or notice in the midst of an election season. After 4 years of building an audience, developing a brand, and developing trust with our viewers, we were effectively and utterly silenced. She then later continued, and this was the quote.
Yeah.
I will not be used as a tool for their purposes. I am not a token, mammy, or little brown bobblehead. I am not owned by Lack Riven or MSNBC. I love her show. I want it back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She really did.
She had an awesome show. I mean, it was just a lot of really great social commentary on a lot of different issues that you probably wouldn't even think about, from, like, you know, sports, entertainment, voting rights. Like, they just talked about a lot of different, you know, issues and brought a really good lens to it. And so I'll be very sad because I used to watch her show, like, you know, so it's very sad.
It is very sad.
Yep.
I'll miss her.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she'll pop up somewhere else.
That'd be very cool.
I'm sure.
Hopefully.
Okay. Should we wrap it up and get out of here?
Yeah. Well, I know. I realize now we've been talking for a really long. Well, you know.
There's a lot to say.
It's a lot to say, you know, when we got Trump in the race.
Yeah.
So what's going on, Randy?
Let's get it on. Okay, so Lobby Day is still coming up, April 13th. I got that right. Go to bit.ly/prochoice2016, and that's bit.ly/prochoice2016. Or you can just go, can we just go to our website to sign up? I think I asked that last time, didn't I?
Is it by the time this airs, you can go to our website.
By the time this airs, you can go to our website, sign up for Lobby Day. Please, it's always a really good time, and we do it in collaboration with our partners, with FOCO, Freedom of Choice. So hopefully you all can come. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we're going to Election Day is coming up soon here in Ohio, March 15th. So Annie will be in Toledo doing outreach. I'll be in Dayton doing outreach and talking to people about the clinics and those respective cities. Also coming up soon, Thursday, March 24th, we're doing a screening of a Romanian film about abortion down at OU in Athens. And I'm trying to think, is that all the events?
Oh, Saturday.
Oh, sorry, Saturday, tomorrow. If you're available tomorrow, we'll be here from 10 to 12 phone banking. I'm calling into Dayton to try to help support the doctors there, the last clinic in Dayton. And then we'll be having a phone bank in Dayton, and those details to come a little, come soon once we have those nailed down.
Cool.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. We'll see everybody next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.